This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and risk tolerances. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. I appreciate you all being here. It is April 7th, 2017, and this is all about above average investing for the average investor. That's what this show is about. It's always this 1 hour form. We welcome your input and questions. Our goal is to provide knowledge, help answer questions, exchange ideas, you know, and just talk about the relevant investment news. Okay. Now, today, of course, the relevant investment news was the jobs report and, of course, the attack on Syria last night or yesterday. And did everybody notice how interesting the market reacted to that? I had a lot of questions today as to what the hell happened. Why didn't the market react more? We'll talk about that. I will talk about that. There are sell signals from the Dow. But what if the Trump rally continues? And I have an inexpensive way to hedge the market risk that's out there. Adding downside protection. That's going to be one of our talking points today. Of course, when you're selecting stocks and funds, you're thinking upside, right? Everybody thinks upside, not downside. Growing your money. But investing is also about being a little bit defensive, being miserly with the costs, being defensive about what you own. So your search will include exchange-traded funds when you go out there and buy stocks, but maybe you should look at the cost of those things. Some of them are very inexpensive. So that would be something you might want to consider when you buy those ETFs. Look for the expense ratios. You've done it with your mutual funds. Now you got to think about it with ETFs. Now you might also be careful because ETFs are becoming more and more popular. More and more people want to buy them, okay? Which is nothing wrong with them. They're good instruments, great way to diversify. But you got to be careful. We've mentioned this before about liquidity. You know, about liquidity and the spread between the bid and ask prices. Larger discrepancies happen when the ETF is illiquid. In other words, the spread between the bid and the ask. When you're trying to buy one or you're trying to sell one, you won't get the price you think you're going to get. So what makes an ETF liquid or not liquid? Well, mostly it depends on what it holds. What does it track? What is it doing? And you can look at the volumes of ETFs, but the volumes of the ETFs generally go to the volumes of the stocks that they hold. So you want to be careful and be wary of illiquid ETFs. Therefore, how many shares are being traded? If there's only 10,000 shares a day and you own 1,000 and you want to get out, how are you going to get out that easily without driving down the price? It's just like the stocks. If you own a stock that has 1 million shares and you own 500,000 of those shares and you want to get out, how are you going to get out that easy? Same principle. And be careful because new and more ETFs come out every year, and some of them are very obscure now. You know, the companies that issue these are trying to make money. So they're trying to offer anything and everything they can to make money. But that doesn't necessarily mean you get to make money. Okay? So be very, very careful. Now, do you have any questions on ETFs? Now's the time to ask them. Or any money question for that matter. Let's get to our InvestTalk listener line right now. 888-99-CHART is how you reach us. You can call anytime you want.
Hi, this is Tim. I listen on podcast. I had a question about the labor participation rate and the jobs report. How does furlough affect that number? For example, our company had people take a week off with no pay. So those people who file an employment for 1 week and then go back to their same job the next week, does that affect those numbers? How are those numbers counted in the jobless claims and then in the labor participation rate? I will listen for your answer on the next podcast. Thank you.
Well, it certainly affects the jobless claims because those are counted every week. So when someone counts, someone applies for unemployment claims, they are counted as the number of unemployment claims for that week. So for that 1 week, the number will jump based on those people that are on furlough for a week. Okay, and but then the, you got to remember there's also the long-term unemployment claims, people on it for long-term. Of course, those people would not be counted long-term, just for the week. Now, the labor participation rate, that is a number of how many of eligible, workers between the ages of, I think it's 24 and 65, something like that. I'm not quite sure. That is the labor pool and how, what male and female, and how the labor participation rate is how many of those people are actually working. And the number is in the low 60%. And it's been kind of high. The number has been high, meaning less people participating in the labor department. Those people that are on furlough probably would not be picked up if it's only a week, because those numbers are a monthly number, whereas unemployment claims are a weekly number. I know that's not a complete answer, but that's all the information I have at the top of my head. Okay, let's put it that way. Let's talk to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm doing good. Steve, thank you very much for taking call.
Thank you.
And my question is related to T-Mobile. I just wanted to know what your opinion is. I have some shares. It is going sideways and tending to go down. What's your near-term prospect, and is there an opportunity to buy some more?
I would not, because it's kind of expensive. This is a TMUS, the symbol T-Mobile, provides unlimited digital wireless broadband. And data services to subscribers in the U.S. It's a $52 billion company, so it's big. They're going to make $1.78 this year and then another $2.45 next year. Sales growth is pretty impressive in the high teens to low 20s the last couple of quarters. So it's pretty impressive, and it's been accelerating. So the stock price has reflected that good news. I mean, it was $26 a year ago, and today it's, you know, $63. So that the good news has been reflected in the stock price, and therefore it's a $63 stock going to make $2.45. So that's a 30 PE, a little less than a 30 PE. So BJ, I think it's already had its run. I think you need to wait for a really nice pullback, maybe into the low 50s to buy more. And I would be more inclined to sell at this high price and wait for a pullback, not buy more at this price. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, BJ. Appreciate the call. Adding downside protection, that's one of our talking points today. I'm also going to talk about the jobs report that came out this morning. And why didn't the market, it was very disappointing. And then you had that bombing last night in Syria. Why did the market kind of go ho-hum? I mean, the market was down by the end of the day, only 7 points for the Dow, 1 point on the NASDAQ, and 2 points on the S&P. But it was actually up during the day, too. Very ho-hum day for that kind of bad news. So I want to talk about that, the Josh Report. U.S. credit tops $1 trillion. Credit card debt tops $1 trillion with a T. You can't even imagine how much money that is. And it's not slowing down. Maybe we should be more careful. We're going to discuss it if we can. And what to do after retirement from your first career? Should you start a second career? Or what should you just do with all that time on your hand? What do people do? Well, I'm going to give you some suggestions. And that's what happened today. The market was mostly sideways, up and down, but mostly sideways today. Think about that. We just bombed the heck out of an airport in Syria. We had half the jobs that we thought we were going to get, and the market said, who cares? Pretty interesting. Why? Why? I have my own theories. I think they're pretty good. I'll share them with you. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Where do you get your financial information? It's important to get a balanced picture, not one side or the other, not a side to justify whatever decision you want to make. That is a big problem people have. They look for the information to support a predetermined decision. You can't do that. Maybe I'll share some sources with you. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday, 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hi there, Steve or Justin. This is Scott from Wisconsin. I'm a podcast listener. Just had a question about when the right time to sell a specific stock is, or what technical indicators or financials I should be looking at. Right now, I'm basically using the historic price charts, looking for the past peaks, but I know that's probably just a small piece of it. So I'd like to hear what else I should be looking for on when to sell. If you want to use an example, I own Callaway, which is symbol ELY, and that's up around 10% over the last month or two, but historically it hasn't gone too much higher than its current level. So at what point should I be taking the profit? Thanks, and have a good day.
Okay, looking at Callaway, it's a good question, ELY, and looking at that chart, looking at the fundamentals, always look at the fundamentals first. You want to see if the fundamentals support a higher price. Doesn't mean if the fundamentals don't support a higher price that you automatically sell it, but you start there, and you start with, what's the valuation? Callaway, they're going to make 34, or they made 34 cents a share last year. They're going to make 25 cents a share this year, and then 35 cents a share next year. So it's going to come down this year and then bounce back up next year. Okay, so let's look at, let's base it on next year's earnings. What's the value of the company? 35 cents a share. It's growing its sales by about 7%. So you certainly can't give it much more than a normal PE range, in my opinion. And that'll be 15 to 20. 15 would be normal S&P 500, and it doesn't really deserve much more than that. And at 35 cents a share, that means the stock is only worth, what, everybody, $5, $6? And it's trading at $11.35. So I'm telling you right now, it's overvalued. Return on equity is only 6%, so that's not good. Hardly any dividends, so it's not a reason to own it. So there's no really reason for it to be pushing up higher than its current price. It's kind of elevated as it is. It's gotten up high as $12.50. I think you're looking at a stock that, unless there's some big catalyst for growth in the golfing industry, which I don't see, you're going to tell me the baby boomers are going to push this golfing higher. They'll turn to golfing. Well, how come golfing is becoming less popular, not more popular? I don't think that's a good reason. So I would say, fundamentally, it doesn't have a reason to go higher. So maybe I should be taking some off the table here. I would follow it with a tight stop. That's what I would do. And stock selling for $11.35. 200-day moving average is $11.10. It breaks below that, I'm gone. Now, if it keeps going up, I'll increase my stop. But that's where I would put a stop right now, because it doesn't have any reason to go higher. So the range that it's been in the high range is right around here, $11.75, $12, $12.25. That's absolute peaks. So you're getting close to selling because of that. Because there's no catalyst. If there was all of a sudden we know that's going to be growing, the numbers look really great, the CEO is very upbeat, their sales are accelerating more than just 7%, then there might be a catalyst to own it, but there isn't. So now you look for a place to take profits that's not going higher, probably. This is the Best Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. We're always live. Love to hear from you. Okay, I don't know if you know this, but Bloomberg reported on Monday that the relative strength index for the Dow Jones Industrial hit its highest level in 20 years, relative strength index. Bloomberg noted that the RSI, that's what that is, an RSI this high is often considered a sell signal. Sell. Now, the last time the bull market continued for a few more years when it hit this level. Years, not weeks, not months. So you can't use it as a timing. All you can do is recognize that the market is telling you that the relative strength is really high. And therefore, generally, that it will roll over at some point and the market will go down. So, why did they even bring this up? Well, because you can protect yourself. There's ways to protect yourself. And this is why, you know, this is what we talk about hedging and hedging against the market. Doesn't mean you get out of the market. I wrote that in the newsletter today. Just because the market is overpriced does not mean you get out. It means you can start taking some profits. Maybe be slower about reinvesting those profits. But if you find an opportunity, you still reinvest. It also means that you try to stay away from the high valuation stocks. It also means you can put on a hedge. Start putting on a hedge. Now, the question you have to ask your mind, well, how much? You have a $1 million portfolio. Do you hedge off half of it, 10% of it? And there gets difficult. That's when you need some experience to figure out, well, how much should I protect myself against the downside? Because you just never know. The market can go up for another 2 years. It could double. I mean, you don't know. Relative strength tells you it is very high relative to the overall history. Let's just put it that way. It's high, okay? So now you have to decide how much of a hedge. And what they're talking about in the article that we're referring to that's on the website, they're hedging using options, okay? You can use an option. Okay, what you can do is hold on to your positions and then hedge off by putting some options on, and then put options will mean so that you can sell at a certain price, but you still hold on to your underlying positions. We don't do that here at KPP. What we do as a hedge, we'll use cash and we'll use shorts. We'll short the indexes or certain indexes that are much too high and hold on to our positions at the same time. And so if the market goes down, that portion of our portfolio will go up and maybe even our stocks will go down, but the stocks may have a hot possibility of not going down because we bought stocks that have very low valuations and are underpriced versus the overall market. It gets very complex. It's hard for individuals to do, to be honest. Let's go to Robbie. Robbie in Santa Clara. How you doing, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. I'm good. Hope you're doing good. So this is regarding the stock BTI, the symbol B for boy, T for Tom, I for India. So especially, what is your opinion on this stock? So there is an acquisition that happened at America.
Okay, this is British American Tobacco, and it's out of the United Kingdom, UK-based manufacturer of tobacco products sold under more than 200 brands, and to let everybody know that we at KPP and one of our managed accounts do own this stock. It's selling for $66.44. It's going to make $3.63 this year. That's up from $3.17 last year. And then $4.04 next year, another 11% increase. We bought it for the dividend, but the price now, the stock is getting quite high. It was low at 54. Now it's at 66. Do you want to buy this, Ruby, or do you already own it?
Yeah, I already own it around $60.
I'm inclined to, for myself, in my own portfolios, it pays a 3.2% dividend now. We bought it when it was over 4% dividend. But I'm inclined to, we're following up with a pretty tight stop, Rabi. If it drops below about $62 to $63, we're probably going to get out.
Okay?
Because that's where strong... I'm sorry?
So what is the best entry point?
If entry point?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't buy until it dropped down below $60 a share. It's now up above. It has no resistance. You need to ride the ride as long as it's in this upward trend. There really is no entry point right now unless you want to wait for it to pull back.
Okay.
And that would be about $59, $60 a share, which is the 200-day moving average. If it holds support there, that's where you want to buy it. Ruby, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We're at the halfway mark of this Friday Invest Talk, everybody. Right now, let's hear your money questions. I want to know what's on your mind. The number is 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk about the jobs report and why the market didn't fall further today. Why? Why was it just barely moved when the jobs report was half of what I expected and we were bombing Syria? We'll talk about that. 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues now, but first, a couple of words for KPP Financial. KPP offers five individual retirement programs that match up with various life situations, including those invested in their employer's 401k program. They vary in design and purpose, from aggressive for those looking for optimum growth to those designed to keep risk at an absolute minimum. And at KPP Financial, you can be assured that they're investing their own money in the same programs. It's called parallel investing, and it's your assurance of their continuous vigilance. So when you're ready to take a look at some of these programs, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. Now let's get back to the podcast. Invest Talk continues now on our next Invest Talk. In most ways, when it comes to safety and security, IRAs are as safe as you can make them. How safe is your IRA? That's one of our topics next time on Invest Talk. You set the topic now, 888-99-CHART. Check in.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Jobs report, 89,000 jobs or 98,000, whatever it was about half of what was expected. Okay? That was out last night or early this morning. And the last night, we bombed Syria. Okay? So why didn't the market react to it? This is my theory. I have a theory. Because the jobs report was not very good, and the Federal Reserve has been raising rates, and the Federal Reserve has been on the cusp of raising more and more and more this year. Two than three. But the jobs report put a little dent in that theory that maybe they're not going to raise them as fast as we thought they were going to raise them. And the stock market likes the rates to be low. The market likes that. From the Syria thing, it was very contained, very focused on an airport, what kind of fallout we're going to get, probably absolutely none. And the market had time to think about that overnight, so they didn't really react to that at all. So that's why I think the market was very calm today, even though the jobs report was pretty icky. Now, did you notice a section of that jobs report, the retail section? The retail jobs, they've lost 60,600 retail jobs in the last two monthly reports. Thousands of jobs have lost in retail. Why? Well, because of the store closings, because of Penny's and Macy's and the Gap and Banana Republic, all closing lots and lots of stores. Lots of stores. I mean, so far there's been 3,500 store closures in 2017, this year only. Look at what Payless went filed bankruptcy. They're going to close like, what, 400 stores of their 700? Those all have employees. They're all going away. Now, where are those jobs going? Well, you got to talk to Amazon. Amazon's one's killing all those companies. So, you know, maybe they're putting on employees. I don't know. But the retail section really hurts. It's really hurting. So be very careful about investing in that sector. Okay? Be very careful. That was the jobs report today. So, not very good. Not very good. This is very different than the ADP number that came out. Remember, those were the private sector jobs. And they had a really big number a couple days ago. Very different from the official number today. So we're here for you, the beginner or experienced investor. Any kind of questions you want to ask, 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
Hi, I'm from San Diego, and my name is Brenda. And I had a question regarding how do you evaluate future earnings per share that are predicted by a company, and what is the validity generally between those predictions and what really ends up happening? Thank you.
Those predictions are always wrong, and they're always optimistic. It's rare that they're not optimistic, except in the case of Apple Computer. They always underestimate them. Now, the experts who are trying to gauge future earnings of corporations are always wrong, too. And they're always optimistic as well. It is very consistent that as the time, they say, like, let's say they predict the earnings for next year. And every quarter they update it. Every quarter they seem to downgrade the earnings. Even during the quarter, the numbers are downgraded. And they usually try to downgrade them lower than the actual earnings come out. But initially, they're over-optimistic. It's very consistent. So don't necessarily believe them. Even though you hear me give those numbers out over the air here, I'm giving you the earnings estimates for next year. These are the estimates by the experts. Always think of those things as guesstimates, and they're probably going to be downgraded. Very seldom do they upgrade them. They do occasionally, you know. Sometimes that happens, but most of the time it's over-optimistic. You still have to use them, though, because it's the only thing you have to use. But a very good question, by the way, Brenda in San Diego. I grew up in San Diego, so know San Diego very well. April is the official National Financial Literacy Month. Jess and I want to do our part. We always try to. That's really our mission here with InvestTalk. Money Management International, who is sponsoring this month's long awareness campaign, has assembled 30 steps to financial wellness. Set yourself up for success. While all members should be aware of the family's overall financial situation, choosing one person to conduct the day-to-day financial tasks is a good way to stay on top of things. The appointed individual should be organized and good communicator. They should be given uninterrupted time to do the task effectively. So I don't know about you, but in my house, my wife pays the bills. At the office, I pay the bills. But in the house, she does. So, you know, consider making, you know, in your family, someone has to kind of run the financials to kind of stay on top of them. Day to day, I'm talking about financials. What's going on? You know, balancing the checkbook, paying the bills. And I do in my house designate a spot for that to happen. Do you? You should have a place where the bills are. We sit down and that's where they're taken care of. Even if it's at the kitchen table, I don't care. Okay? That's what's suggested by the Financial Literacy Month people. They think you should do that, and I kind of agree. Do you have a question about any money matter? Just call 888-99-CHART or go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Steve button.
1 hour can make a world of difference for your retirement future. Each month, Steve schedules 1 hour meetings with our listeners to answer important questions about their retirement portfolio and give them a professional opinion. And he'll be in San Ramon April 25th. If you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone anywhere in the USA. It's easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review.
888-99-CHARK. We're going to talk to Huey in the Bay Area. How you doing, Huey?
Hi. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
I like your show very much. And
thank you.
I have a question. I would like to get your opinion on one of the stocks my husband owned for a long time, maybe over 20 years.
Wow.
The stock symbol is A as apple, E as elephant, E again, A-E-E.
Okay. Amarin,
yes.
Corporation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd like to know, is this stock worth to hold for a long time, or is we have to sell since right now its price is good? Basically, we are not urging to need a cash, but we just like to know your comments about this stock. So can we hold for a long term, or... Just sell it now.
Okay. It's a holding company providing electrical and natural gas utility services.
Correct.
In Missouri and Illinois. It's a $13 billion company, so it's a big company. And this is the kind of company, utilities are the kind of companies you hold for long term because they pay good dividends. And this one does pay a nice dividend of 3.2%. So You hold this not for the growth of the stock price, even though it has done pretty well here in the last few months, going from $46 to $54. It's never going to be a screamer, really does really go high in price. It does, it's not that kind of stock. This stock is one that just pays good dividends over long term. And so you can hold this for a long term, realizing you're going to make 3 and 4% a year. That's about it. Because mm-hmm. that's what it is. It'll go up and down in price, but mm-hmm. over long term, it's going to make you about 3 or 4% a year. And that's kind of a core holding kind of attitude. So you could hold it for many, many, many more years, and you'll make a decent return. Not great. Decent return, or you can sell it because it is at a high, got up to 56 and now it's at 54, 52, and that's probably as high as it's going to go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Your point is up to me to sell it now or hold it for another 10 years.
If you don't need the money, Huey, if you don't really need it, I just hold it for a long, long time.
Okay. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you for the
so
call.
Much.
Yeah, so you have to make a decision. Is this the kind of stock that you're looking for long-term core holding, and it's a utility company, and it's pretty solid, and it's done well, not great, never going to do great, then you hold it because it pays a 3.2% dividend, which is pretty good, better than putting it in a bank. But you're not going to hold it, if you think it's going to grow and make you a lot more money in the future. It's not going to happen. You need to sell this and go look for something else that will go up because it's at a pretty good high right now. You sell things at highs. You don't wait till they fall and collapse and then sell them. That makes no sense, but a lot of people do it that way. Don't do it. U.S. credit tops $1 trillion credit card, U.S. credit card debt, $1 trillion credit debt. Not just credit card, but all credit debt. Fed says it's the highest since 2009, January 2009. It was up 6.2% year over year. And it's going to continue to grow. Now, how do you get out of credit, everybody? Credit card debt. Well, it's very, very difficult for most people. I'm not sure why, because I've never had this problem. I never had a lot of credit card debt. Never had a lot of debt. Always paid it off. But, you know, to give you some help, one thing you need to start doing is cut up some of those credit cards. Not all of them. You need the credit cards. You need them. But you only need one or two. That's all. Cut up the rest. Then start attacking the credit balance. Now, the smart thing is to always pay off the high credit card debt interest rate first. But they found study after study that that's not how people operate, and that's not how they will be successful. So they're saying that maybe you should start with the smaller credit amounts first. Like, you know, you have $2,000 here or $1,500 there, and then you have $8,000 over there and $12,000 over here. Start with a smaller one to get it off, to pay that off, to give you a sense of accomplishment. And once you have that sense of accomplishment, you might be more prone to pay off the next one. Okay, so that's what the theory is. The smart thing is to pay off the high credit card interest rate debt first. But not necessarily that will make you the successful person paying off debt. But you should. See, it's hard for me. I will admit it's hard for me because I never had this problem. And I know people do have this problem. You know, they get addicted to credit. And since I don't have that, I never had that problem, it's hard for me to relate. And I apologize for that. But you do need to get the debt down. By the time you retire, you should have no credit card debt. And you should have no home debt. Obviously, have no auto loan debt. You need to, and I'll say it again. When you retire, you need to be a collector of interest, not a payer of interest. You need to collect interest from your investments, from your loans, or whatever it is. You collect it from people and companies. You don't pay it when you're in retirement. You don't have the continuing income that's growing anymore. You don't have that job. But of course, maybe you do if you start a second career, and that's going to be my final talking point if we can get to it by the end of the day. Got an email. The email says, I have a question. I'm a podcast listener. I'm going to get your opinion regarding two stocks. Well, I'm only going to give you one: Applied Materials and Corning. I am thinking, I am a long-term investor, 10, 20 years, who is interested in buying stocks in one or more of these companies. Thank you. Love the show. Okay. Well, for me, if you're thinking long-term, it wouldn't be AMAT. It will be Corning. The symbol for Corning is GLW. Why is that? Well, because it's a basic supplier, basic industry, glass, fiber optics. Manufactures glass substrates for LCDs, optical fiber cables for communication, ceramic pollution control products. So it has other lines of business. It's a very solid company. It's a $25 billion company. I like the size for 10 and 20. Remember, he's talking about 10, 20 years, not just for now. 10, 20 years he's going to hold on to it. So being a $25 billion company, it pays a 2.3% dividend. So you always have that dividend. It's probably always going to be, increase. The stock, it's going to make $1.68. They make money every year, always have. Some years more than others. They're going to make $1.68 this year, up 8%. And then another 8% next year to $1.82. That's the estimate. Sales has grown the last two quarters, 10% each. Before, a year ago, they were shrinking 10%. So, it looks like they've turned themselves around, don't have a lot of debt, but it is a bit pricey right now because they turned themselves around. So the PE, the five-year PE is 9 to 18, and the current PE is 17. Okay, that seems a little bit pricey. The market PE is what? 18, 19, 20, something like that. That's way high. Normal is 15. And this should get a normal 15 PE. The range, five-year range, 9 to 18, it's at 17, so it's too high. I would wait for a pullback, but this would be the one. I'd wait for a pretty decent pullback, but this would be the one I'd hold for the long term. GLW, Corning, when you got the pullback. Well, what should be a good pullback? Well, a year ago was at, $18, $19. That would be really wonderful. But the 200-day moving average is around 24. So I would wait for that personally. It's about 10% pullback. I'd wait for it. And I wouldn't chase it. And right now, it looks like it's starting to... You know what it looks like? It looks like the chart of the S&P 500. I wonder how that would look overlaid with this one. That's what it looks like. Become an Investing Insider. You'll have access to a whole library of webinars that you can play anytime you want. It's free. Never charge for any of the useful content, and there's a whole new look now that with lots of financial news. So go to investtalk.com and sign up. It's free. The Invest Talk tab. Click on that.
Hello, my name is Derek. I'm calling from Toledo, Ohio. I'm a podcast listener. My question is about the stock Cabela's, C-A-B, Cabela's. I was wondering what your take was on it. I'm not sure what the earnings were for this year and next year, and also if you could give me a value on the stock. I'm an everyday listener. Enjoy your show very much, and thank you.
Okay, Cabela's Inc. is a $3.6 billion company. It operates 77 outdoor equipment stores in 36 states and Canada, offering camping, fishing, and other products. Have you ever seen to their stores? They're going to be... on October 3rd, to be acquired by Bass Pro Shops for $65.50 per share in cash of about $5.5 billion. So when that happened, the stock jumped up to $62, $63. Then it fell, so maybe the deal fell through back in the beginning of the year. It kind of feel like that's what happened. And now it's going back. It fell down to $46, and now it's at $52.96. So might be that the deal fell through. I'd have to look that up because I'm not sure. Let's see. I'm looking at some of the news articles to see. I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up. The standalone company called Cabela's, it's going to make $3.03 next year. Okay, it's a $52 stock. So that's a pretty reasonable price for the company. Return on equity is a little low on 9 percent, and sales have all of a sudden in the most recent quarter, which was the last, the quarter of 2016, sales fell 3%. Before that, sales were growing between 5 and 10% a quarter. So hopefully that's turned around, and it looks like it has by the recent action of the stock. Looks like it has turned around. The value is reasonable. So the value is worth more close. It's probably worth more close to $60 a share, and it's right now at $52.96. Cash flow is very high. The profit margin is a little low. And so I kind of like it, and it does look like Bass Pro Shops is still trying to buy it. So I think you have a good shot at getting back up to $62 where it was when the offer was made. Remember, the offer was made at $65.50. So it might be a good bet. CAB is the symbol, everybody. CAB. So what to do after retirement, maybe move into your second career? What do you do? By the way, I retired at 43 and I moved to a second career and it's doing what I'm doing. But my second career was very much related to my first career. But it was a second career for me. So what do you do? What can you do? Well, if you're a religious sort of person, you can become a priest or a pastor or, something in a religious life. I know several guys who've done that, really have. Why can't you? Why wouldn't you? If you want to, that's something that really is something that your primary focus. But the point is to leverage your profession into something else if you want to. But you can also leverage your profession into something related to what you did. For instance, let's say you're a doctor. We're a doctor. Well, you still can do the health facilities. You can do something for helping the poor. Helping poor families or even some kind of medicine in foreign countries, even on a part-time basis. How about if you're an engineer? If you have any of those kinds of skills that take, they're high developed skills, they can always be used in part-time and in a different direction that you might enjoy more. You can also pick a cause that is near and dear to your heart, some kind of cause. I have a couple of brother-in-laws who are coaching kids. They want to move toward that, either through the high school or junior high. I also have some relatives who are working with building houses for Habitat. There's something, the point is after you retire, you can start a second type of career, whether you're making money at it or not, it doesn't matter. But it's something that you can do that make you happy. And you can take up a lot of your spare time and be useful. Okay, we spent the hour. Time is up, in other words. Time to say thank you for being with us today. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Sorry, I'm not able to respond to, a list of stock questions, one question, one at a time. Please don't say, take a look at these 10 stocks and which ones do you like? And don't ask me, please give me a list. Nope, can't do that. I'll try to help you any way I can. Go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve, send me an email. I will get back to you, I promise. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for being with us. Let's plan on getting together tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.